All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Matty Juice. I like that little like inflection you had there. That was a good one. That was a good one. Keeping it fresh.
Yeah, I'm trying some things. But hey, listen, we are the prolific, the most important voices in the indie game sphere. Everybody knows that. but that's why I had to put some inflection there. But we got a great episode for you all today. We're going to be talking about a roguelike deck builder called As We Descend by Box Dragon, published by Coffee Stain Publishing. We'll be talking about that, our thoughts. It's in early access. And we're going to catch up a little bit. Maybe get to some news, maybe answer some listener questions. All cool stuff. All cool stuff. Now, how was your weekend? What'd you do?
Yeah, it was good overall. So for those that don't know, I'm a big Gears of War fan, and they have Gears of War Reloaded coming out actually on my birthday this year, which is cool. And it's essentially a remaster of the first game. They did a beta for it, the first beta this past weekend. There's another one happening next weekend. And it's also cross-platform, so it's going to be on PS5 and stuff. So I played some of that on Friday, had a good time with it. Definitely very beta, you know, feeling. But I felt like I was, you know, it took me like one match to like get back in the swing of things. And I was just like dominating, you know, as probably because there's a bunch of PlayStation people that don't know what to do. That was fun. That was a good time. Played some more Dune as well. Friday night usually is like date night, but the missus had her little girl's night, so I was able to just dive into some gaming, played some Mario Kart, which is a good time. And then Saturday we actually did like a little pregnancy photo shoot thing, which was cool.
Very nice.
Shout out to Bree for being our photographer. So shout out Bree, you're not listening, but I know someone that you know that's listening. So shout out to Bree. And that was great. The pictures came out really, really well. And I don't know if that's a right way to say that, but they look great. And we're very happy with them. And then, Sunday was Father's Day. So actually spent a lot of time waiting, which apparently was like a theme this year, which like I understand it's Father's Day. So like if you don't have reservations somewhere, like you're going to have to wait at some point. But like apparently this year was like really bad. I thought it was just us, but we've been hearing from a bunch of other people that they also had to wait like an extremely long time. Like we went to like a diner. We sat at within 30 minutes and then we had to wait like an hour and a half just for the food to come out.
Whoa.
So it was, whatever at the end of the day, but usually diners are pretty quick with that stuff, even when they're busy. I don't know what was going on, but that was fine. And then hung out with my dad a bit. We went to the diner with, my father-in-law, and then I hung out with my dad later, went to dinner and stuff. It was a good time. And just a tiring weekend, you know, with things to do. And, you know, we're approaching our buddy Bags's bachelor party this upcoming long weekend. So been prepping for that a little bit too, getting the car ready, making sure I got like clothes clean, all that sort of stuff. So getting excited for that. It was an eventful weekend. And, also, shout out to my job, too. Whoa. Which I don't say often. I rarely ever say. But we have off for Juneteenth on Thursday, and they announced today that they're just giving everybody Friday off, too. So I had already taken off for the bachelor party, but now I don't need to worry about coming back to like a giant pile of work because there everybody's going to be off. So all that right. was pretty cool. Yes, good start to the week. Good
Not
start
bad.
To the week.
Not bad.
But how about you, Tommy? How was everything this weekend?
Oh, I had a busy, busy weekend. We saw each other Thursday briefly. Had a crazy day at work. you know, it was wild that day. But then Friday, a couple of the friends all had birthdays within a week from each other, so we kind of all went over, did like a little bonfire, hung out. That was cool. And then I worked a beer fest down LBI. For those of you who don't know what LBI is, it stands for Long Beach Island. Guess what?
Woo!
It's a really long island, and it's a long beach. So that was cool. It was raining. It's been raining in the New Jersey, New York area every weekend since November, which is crazy. It's quite the record, though. This weekend looks to be good, even though we'll be in Maine for it.
Yeah.
And worked that. And then after that, I went to a grad dinner. Like, somebody we know graduated college. So we went to dinner, a little place, a Portuguese place in South River, New Jersey. Shout out. It was very good. We were there for 4 hours. That was a long dinner, but it was fun. And then on Father's Day, I had to clean something. There was something that I have. I need I have something I need for the weekend that I just realized I opened it up and it was way too dirty. So I spent most of Sunday doing that and then went out to dinner with the old papa with my sister. That was fun. And now we're here. I have off this week, which is nice. Getting all ready for the weekend. It's going to be a good time. Playing some games, recording podcasts. This is the second one I recorded today. Pretty sick. I love podcasting. And guess what else I love? The biggest news ever. Discord! We have
what?
One!
Oh my God.
And it is in the show notes, folks. If you want to get in on some really, really sick Discord action, join ours because it's going to be good. It's one of the better ones, I would say.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in there. The famous Capolo in there, the notorious B.I.G. You know, just everybody's doing some great stuff in there. So hop in, strap in, and enjoy. What other news do we have?
Yeah, I just threw this into the news as well because I keep seeing this game pop up. This is another indie game that is really, you know, it's been delayed a few times, but now it's out. It's been, getting a lot of praise. It's called The Alters. Now, this interests me specifically because it is a sci-fi survival game, but it's getting a lot of acclaim from critics. It's on Xbox, PS5, and PC, and it's on Game Pass. It's from 11-Bit Studios. And what's interesting about this one, and I haven't looked into it too much, but I know, you know, kind of the premise, is that the main character you play as, who is named Jan Dolsky, I'm going to say is how you pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
He's on like a hostile planet. And you must manage a moving base by creating different versions of yourself. And then each version has like unique skill sets. And if you watch some of the gameplay for this, you're like, wow, this looks pretty wild. So it just kind of caught my attention. I've seen a lot on TikTok and it seems to be doing really well. And it's a, you know, it's a twist kind of on the survival genre. Which I always think is good, right? You know, and who knows, maybe we'll be chatting a little bit about that today with today's game, being a little bit of a twist, a little bit of a different flavor of a popular genre.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's, you know, something I'm going to keep my eye on. I'll probably end up trying it out, but just wanted to shout it out. Another indie game that's getting some great reviews that seemingly just kind of came out of nowhere, at least from my point of view. But yeah, The Alters. There you go. Shout out to them.
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot about it. I saw maybe some, I think maybe it was Ludwig was going to play it or something like that. I forget. I saw something on TikTok, but it looks really neat. Always cool to see some like higher end indie games get some hype and basically get the critical acclaim as well because, you know, we're starting to enter an age where indie games aren't really scoffed at as much, right? You know, these we have The Blueprints, we have Balatros, we have now The Alters. I guess Claire Obscure was not indie, but not quite triple A. So, you know, people are paying attention to this kind of stuff right now, especially when things are getting more and more expensive, that, you know, something that's on Game Pass, people are going to kind of take a closer look at. So good for the Alters. Maybe we'll have to check it out. It has a really cool premise. So
yeah, for sure. And I think also this is like another example of like an indie game that, like, you know, just has really amazing looking graphics as mm-hmm. well. You know, it's we're in that era right now where, like, you can't just say something is indie because of the way it looks. Like, there are so many indie games that are coming out that just look amazing that you would think like a AAA studio would have had to make it because of just the resources to make it look that good. So yeah, I'm definitely going to try to check it out. I got a lot on my plate at the moment game wise, but it's on my radar. I'm going to check out the Alters. And if any of the listeners out there have played it or checked it out, definitely let us know in the Discord, because I'm really interested to see what you have to say.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Besides that, I guess is it Steam Next Fest yet, or is it happening right now?
It is the Fishing Fest.
Fishing Fest.
Yes, which ties into a game that we're going to be reviewing next week.
Oh, wait. Right? Next Fest ended. Yes. Right?
I believe so. We missed it. I guess we missed it. Yeah, aww. We missed Next Fest. It's okay. There'll be another one. We'll get the next one.
We'll get to the next one. That's all right. We've been having a lot of great games to play. Yes, we will be playing a fishing game, Cast and Chill, next week. So we'll be casting, podcasting, and pod chilling as well. And it's going to be wild. Now, let's talk about the game for the week. As We Descend. As I said before, developed by Box Dragon and published by Coffee Stain, publishers of things like Valheim and anything else that I would know?
I really only know them from Valheim specifically. Yeah.
So this is a game that's been on my radar for quite some time. I ended up getting into the beta after playing the demo, kind of reached out because I was really liking the direction in which this game was going, and I wanted to be kind of involved and played a decent amount of the beta, and then kind of had to stop because it just, you know, didn't have much time to play. And then before we knew it, it was launching in early access, and here it is. It's $29.99, which is a pretty, it's on the higher end of price tags for indie games, but will it be worth it? We'll let you know. It's a roguelike deck builder with the soul of a strategy game. Recruit and upgrade your forces, deploy them to counter monstrous foes in card-slinging battles, and then play your cards carefully in the treacherous city. Against all odds, will you bear the torch of humanity? So, this is a game where you will have two different decks, in a way. You have the deck that you play in your combat encounters, much like you would in other deck builder, roguelike dungeon crawlers, such like Slay the Spire or Star Vaders or anything like that. But also, instead of going to like a singular shop, you have this whole city in which you have all these different encounters that you can go interact with for story points or stuff to maybe get in a couple turns. Like a bonus to wait for, to get other resources, to find relics, or they're not relics, they're called tech in this game. And that is kind of the premise of this game, right? So you are in a city that is continuing to go deeper into the earth, and each cycle or each like rounds of cycles, you will go deeper in, and then you'll face more dangerous enemies on the outside of the city. And each time you go down another level, you will have to face an onslaught of enemies that are trying to get into the city to breach the walls. But you also go out of the city to go get resources in encounters as well. So how do the cards work? So you have a lantern, right? Kind of your home base whenever you do a combat encounter that has X amount of cards that are in your deck. And you always have to have the lantern. Kind of gives like buffs to your units, as well as kind of just empowering them with like this thing called enlightenment or empowerment, which is another whole resource, which we'll talk about. And your regular deck is part of these units. So you draft units. So they are usually some kind of, I guess, like a class of kind of like a soldier or something like that. I'm blanking on the word. It's a class, basically. So you'll have like a bombardier or, you know, like a crossbow class or, you know, just one that cares about swords and like hand-to-hand combat. And each unit will come with their own set of cards that get added to the deck for when you do the encounters. And your forces are kind of in your kind of arsenal of available units. And when you go into an encounter, X amount of units can go in and you can pick and choose based on their health from previous encounters or if you think they'll do better against certain enemies. So that's kind of the general gist of how this plays out like in a similar way to other deck builder roguelikes, but there is a little bit more depth in the actual combat where you're playing these cards, you have three regular resources, and then you have your enlightenment resources as well, or favor, I think they call it. That is what you use to cast your lantern cards with the limited amount of favor, because once you use it, you have to go get more in the city, right? So you have like 9 favor to start with. If you use all of it during a battle, you're going to have 0 for the next battle unless you get more. And then there are also 2, or you have your regular resources to play the regular cards, but the actual combat is between 4 zones, or essentially 2 zones. You each have a guard zone and then a support zone kind of lined up next to each other. If you're watching the YouTube or on the Spotify, you'll see them. They have 2 different kinds of things. You can get buffs for having a unit there. And same with your enemy. The enemy will be doing stuff as well. Certain units can only auto attack from the closer one. Other units, you know, are able to do ranged attacks from the other one. So you'll play out cards, and then when you pass the turn, you do auto attacks still. So that's basically the gist of everything. I mean, it's a lot to kind of talk about in like one podcast, because this is a pretty complex game, and there's even a warning when you hop into this that it is a challenging game, and it sure is. This is a entirely different world from most deck builder roguelikes. This is kind of pushing the limit in which you know, you can add complexity to this kind of stuff. But I enjoy it. I played a decent amount of it in the beta, so I knew I was going to like it in early access. There's a lot of stuff that they fixed from the beta that I was actually quite happy with. You know, there was in the original demo, there was no tutorial, right? You just hopped in and was like, figure it out. They actually have a tutorial, like, you know, just a reminder text to pop up from time to time. And you can kind of get the gist of it quite easily, or easier than it was before. The UI looks a lot better. We'll talk about that on the art side. But the real thing that makes, I think, this game special is the city, because that is where the most interesting decisions will be made. You know, going back to the city with your ally cards that will go into these encounters, and they have like stats almost like D&D stats, like strength or intuition or charisma. And, you know, you will get presented with an option. Oh, pay 20 coins for 2 favor, or try to convince the person that you're talking to for 3 favor and not pay anything. And then it'll give you like an intelligence check or something, or a charisma check. And then you roll 2 dice, and if you get it, you get the stuff. If not, you just lose out and you don't get to do the other thing where you would have paid. So that's like really cool. It actually makes a lot of your decisions pretty impactful, you know, starting to think about what you're going to do in future turns, because there's some stuff that will give you a bonus on future turns, but you don't get it right away. So initially you're like, oh, but do I want to waste like resources on something I'm not even going to get right now? So I really enjoy that aspect. This game is certainly hard, but I kind of really love what they're doing with this genre. It feels pretty fresh and hard in a good way, I think. You know, it feels, you know, at times like, how am I supposed to win this? Which I don't mind, but then you realize, okay, this is what I did wrong. I should have buffed up this unit, or that unit wasn't that good for that kind of battle. And you realize it after it's too late, but then you know for the next run. So I enjoy it. I like the vibe of this game. I'll be playing more of it, but really interested to hear what you have to say, because this is not your genre of game. This is something that is made for me. That, if anything, I mean, the kind of like post-apocalyptic world. Oh, check. Deck builder roguelike. Oh, check. Board game like decision making. Oh, check. This was kind of a big Tommy Fresh game, but was it a Matty Juice game?
Well, you know, let me first say that I appreciate everything this game is trying to do. I think it's cool that they kind of blended the deck builder genre kind of with like the city builder genre, but like a very basic kind of city builder. Once I kind of understood like that was, you know, the, I don't know, that was the way the gameplay loop worked, I started to go, oh, okay, like I understand what kind of decisions I need to try to make in the city that would then help me in combat. But I will say, like, this game is definitely made for like the hardcore deck builder fans. Mm-hmm. And I am not one of those people, because it's just, you know, I think, you know, I didn't play the demo, so I don't know about how the onboarding was and the tutorial and stuff like that. But I felt like in this, I was not getting enough information, like tutorial wise, to like make decisions, where I felt like I just kind of was, all right, this is going to attack this guy. I'm going to just keep attacking until this guy's dead, and I'll just try to defend my guys. I wasn't really like focusing on, you know, all those different stats it throws. It throws a lot at you, mm-hmm. like in terms of like flavor text, which I'm trying to read through, but like, I'm also not really, I didn't like fully understand, you know, what certain flavor text meant. You know, I did see like the D&D kind of aspect there, which is like, you know, I'm familiar with that to an extent. But I felt like the combat, like what you're watching right now, if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, that was probably my favorite part of the game, because I could easily kind of understand it. This is like the slice I feel like, is similar to other kind of deck builder games, right? Now there's some, you know, differences, you know, in terms of like those different zones you can enter and things like that. I don't know how common that is in like the deck builder genre, but that was kind of interesting. But then you get to like this screen, like I can't tell you, this is the screen after combat where I was just like, I clicked on every, it's kind of this like, you know, you see these characters like descending down into these caves, and there's these different rewards you can kind of click on after combat. I clicked on a few of these and I just kind of sat there, because I was like, I don't know, like, what am I supposed to do here? And then when I tried to leave, it was like, oh, you have unclaimed rewards. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to like not only reveal the reward, but I need to like click on each one in order to like claim it. So then I realized that. So there's just like stuff like that where, you know, I am just not, you know, this genre is like something that I need. I don't have a lot of like a ton of experience in. So I just felt like there were certain things in the game where it was just like, I didn't feel like I wanted to invest my time, like learning all these small things that probably end up mattering when like the further you get into a run. But from a basic level standpoint, like I was able to get through like a good amount of like the combat encounters without any issues. And I started to understand, you know, on the city side, you know, there's certain things you maybe want to do because you get different resources that can then help with your combat encounter. So I started to like figure all that stuff out and like the currencies and things like that. But I just felt like there was like, there's like a lot of systems in this game. I just need more explanation for it. But this is like one of those situations. I feel like we had a game like this. I forget which one, weeks ago, where like, I appreciate everything that they're doing. It's just like something that isn't like for me at the end of the day, where like I'm going to invest a ton of time into like playing this game. Because there's a lot going on here. There's a lot, you know, we'll talk about the art and things like that later, but there's a lot I like, you know, in that kind of area of the game. I just feel like they really got to work on the tutorials for it. And I saw the warning in the beginning of the game and I'm like, all right, I've seen warnings like that before. Mm-hmm. And then I'm getting into the game and I'm like, oh man, like they're being serious here. Like, I don't really know what's going on. You know, I didn't really understand like all the mechanics, but the combat ones are something I could like easily understand. So that's just kind of where I landed on it. Like there's cool things. I love like that you're descending in this city, right? Like further and further into the planet. Like there's so much cool stuff kind of going on. I really enjoy the aesthetic and, you know, we'll talk about that. And, you know, it made sense, kind of why I was doing certain things in terms of like the combat, but I just felt like I was still very much on the surface level and there's like so much more depth to the game. And I just wish it would explain it a little bit better. So that's where I ended up on it in terms of the gameplay side. You know, I know this, yeah, this game, as I'm playing, I'm like, this is right up Tom's alley, a game like this. It's so intense. Like if you're going to pick up this game, you need to be like, you need to have like carve out some time to really like learn it and maybe even like pull up a YouTube video of maybe someone explaining the mechanics of the game. I feel like that's kind of the point I'm at with it right now. And it is early access. Like I'm sure they're going to flesh that stuff out. Usually the tutorial kind of stuff is something that gets fleshed out in early access anyway, because they get a lot of player feedback and things like that. So hopefully that ends up happening with this game. But yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of where I ended up on it. It's a weird amount of feedback I feel like I'm given here, but it just like, I like a lot of things I saw. I just like, it's just a lot, you know, to process. And I, you know, so I'm like, all right, rather than me worrying about all this, you know, these different stats and things like that, let me just do what I know and like attack these things and protect myself and use cards that buff my units and move my units and things like that. Things that are on like the basic level. But if you're, I can imagine as you get further and further into your run or further and further into other runs, it starts to get a lot more complicated with this game, based on like the different enemies that I'm sure that you can encounter where you'll need all those stats will end up mattering. A bit more. So yeah, that's just where I ended up with the gameplay for this game.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. There was no tutorial in the demo, like not even a little bit. So I mean, I am coming from someone who played prior, so I had existing knowledge, but I will say it was a lot more information than previously that was given. And even, you know, something I noticed, even I on the run I was most recently on, I beat the first boss and then I beat the second boss. And even as new kind of mechanics in the enemies would show up, they'd still give you reminder text. Mm-hmm. Or like not reminders, like, hey, this is what this means. Watch out for that, yada, 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 which was never there before. But it is a very complex game, and it definitely, the more information, the merrier. I could definitely see that. So,
yeah, I just kind of feel like because there's so much going on, like they could even like have a more gradual build up to mm-hmm. The other mechanics, you know, where like you just start with, you know, some basic stuff and then it's like, oh, we're going to add a new mechanic in your next combat encounter. And then we're going to add another mechanic the next time you're at the city, you know, things like that, where I felt like, right in the beginning, like I was getting a lot. So if it was just a little bit more gradual, I think that could work. Or even if there was like a demo or a tutorial run that mm-hmm. you just go through, you know, where it really breaks down every decision that you're making and maybe even tells you to make certain decisions just so you can understand why you're making them. I think that could be helpful.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, going to the story side of things, this is a game that for this genre has a ton of story. You know, you are in this kind of futuristic post-apocalyptic city that is digging its way down into the earth, and you know, you're facing the threat of these kind of almost Titan-esque enemies that are coming to like try to break into the city, and you have this whole like kind of political system within the city as well, where you know, you have decisions. You have like make your own adventure kind of decisions where do you want to placate to the people that run things? Do you want to do it a little underground? Do you want to like go to the black market and buy stuff there and like haggle rather than like go to your regular shop? There's so much going on and new like areas to like discover too. And like as you discover more areas, it makes your decisions with your allies, your like city cards, where you would, you know, send them. You have to send a person to these areas, but you only have a certain amount of them each turn. So as you discover more areas, it becomes a little bit more difficult to make that decision because you're like, I want to go to the shop, but I also want to go and deal with, you know, this new area that I just found with this character that seems really cool and seems like it's very important and, you know, stuff like that. And I also like that when you go out into these encounters, you know, that isn't a siege, isn't something that's attacking the city, and you're more just going out to get like resources, it tells you which characters in the city care about the resources that you could potentially find. So there's just a lot of interlocking of NPCs and characters and people you can interact with. And this, meanwhile, is all built into this like whole like interesting world where like these evil creatures are out there, and somehow you're in the city and making it down further into the earth because it's getting more and more dangerous outside. I loved it. This is the kind of, you know, story that I can get immersed in, especially like how you interact with it, you know, especially in the city phase. That's like the biggest thing, you know, being able to be like, okay, like I want to send this ally card with high intelligence to this person because last time I sent somebody with low intelligence and they got an intelligence check, and I want to see what happens if I can pass that intelligence check, if I can match that NPC's kind of, you know, requirements and see where the story takes me from there. I enjoy it quite a bit. It's kind of interesting. I am really interested to kind of try and beat a run and see like how far you can go down, because, you know, it's a pretty neat kind of world that they've built here. And not to mention the units that you get to play around with. They all feel very characterized, and, you know, their cards are, you know, we'll talk about these stags, but their cards feel like what they do, right? They nail kind of this top-down flavor design, which I think is such a huge win for this game. What do you think about the story?
Yeah, I think like the world building here is pretty great. Like you can tell that everything is like you kind of said, intertwined. And you know, it's this like dark apocalyptic world. I really like that, like the way they treat the dialogue in the game, and you're kind of seeing some of it right now if you're watching, where it kind of brings you to like this separate screen. It almost makes me feel like I'm playing like a sort of like a point and click kind of game, or maybe like a Telltale sort of style game, where like you're really just focused on like the person you're talking to. And then they also show you kind of like the previous dialogue that you've had in case there's like a longer conversation. It's kind of this like list of dialogue. I think that was pretty well done. And, you know, you have to make different choices in the game that can affect, you know, your combat units, you know, the resources you get, things like that. So like there are decisions you have to make from like a story kind of standpoint, kind of like what you were mentioning with like the politics, that can affect your run. which is interesting, you know, because it obviously can play into like the roguelike sort of elements, but it also ties into the story, right? So like every run you do could be different story elements also unfolding, as well as different like gameplay mechanics and just like encounters unfolding. So it's kind of cool how they intertwine the story so much. Like, I don't think I've played a deck builder that's had so much story elements into it. Now, there's not like cut scenes that I've seen, you know, there's not like, it's not really telling you like a linear story, right? But it's cool how they've, you know, like I said, you know, intertwined it with the with like the roguelite, the deck builder kind of elements in the game. So yeah, I think like the world building overall was pretty good. You know, there's like these factions that are part of the city that you can learn more about. And yeah, you know, I don't have a lot of notes on the story, cause I mean, I think he covered a lot of it right there, but, I would say this is maybe the first deck builder where I could recommend it to someone because of a story, right? If I'd be like, if you're into this kind of dark, you know, apocalyptic, like, you know, fantasy-esque kind of, you know, story, that this could be a good, you know, game for you. But, yeah, I think, yeah, it was surprising how many story elements there were in this game for me. And also, you know, this part that we're watching right now, where you're kind of like digging a little bit deeper into this cave, that part I was like a little bit confused about earlier, like that's also like kind of tying into the story, like the way they're presenting things. And, you know, we'll talk about the art side of things next, but like the way they present things also helps kind of tie the story together as well. So yeah, I think they did a pretty good job story wise. There's a lot of interesting characters and interesting dialogue and a lot to learn with the story in this game.
Yeah. And it's all backed up by the visuals too, because this game looks beautiful. I mean, it just has this really beautiful illustrated look to it, like in the kind of the still shots, right? You know, where you're talking to a character, or if it's like in a kind of menu kind of screen, like you said with the scavengers.
Yeah.
And then the cards all look really neat as well. This like really nice illustrated look to them. And then you get to the actual combat and these kind of, I forget what the word I'm looking for, but like these like enemies look so unique and cool and like disgusting. And so do your units as well. They just, I mean, they don't look disgusting as much as the monsters, but it looks really neat. It looks very clean. The UI is great, you know, keeps everything pretty simplified, you know, in the top left corner and the top right corner is most of your information. And then the bottom is all about the cards. Right. And that is kind of how it's set up. You know, you have the ability to kind of check in on your units as well up at the top, right. It all looks pretty good. One of the really, the most impressive thing to me is the actual city itself. When you're in the city phase, is it just looks so good, and it's 3D. It's like, you know, you can rotate it around and take a look at all the different spots in the city, whether you're clicking into them or not. It just looks so good. And you know, when it goes down another level, you get to see it kind of going deeper into the earth. It's just really, really neat. And I appreciate like how much work obviously went into, you know, making this game as beautiful like as it is.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's this really great blend of like these 3D environments and like this illustrated work, especially like when you're talking to different characters, it's like very illustrated and, you know, just looks fantastic. But then, you know, like you mentioned with the city and even the combat encounters, they're 3D. And I think the city is probably like the biggest kind of wow factor from the art standpoint for me. Because yeah, you can rotate it around, you can like investigate different things. And then they even kind of overlay some of that illustrated work on top of it based on like who you can talk to. And then, you know, these different encounters, there's a lot going on from the art standpoint here. I think the UI is fine, you know, as someone that like was mentioning how overwhelming the game can be. I actually think the UI is like easy to understand. You know, overall, once you kind of realize, you know, all the different things you can sort of do in the game, you start to be like, oh, okay, this copper here is my currency for like the shops I can find, you know, like it's not used as like a crafting material or something like that. So you start to kind of figure that out, you know, in terms of like the UI. And yeah, I mean, we're getting a good look right here in the video of, you know, one of the creatures there that looks a little disgusting, which is, they just did a good job overall art wise. And I think there's, you know, something to be said about these sort of dark, like apocalyptic sort of games where like they can hide a lot with how dark the game is. And I feel like this game doesn't really do that. Like there's so much interesting creatures and interesting art that they're displaying like front and center. And they're not trying to hide it, you know, or trying to have like really low, you know, polygon kind of creatures or like just really super simplistic art. Like there's some detailed art here. So, you know, definitely props to their design team. It almost feels like they had like multiple different types of artists that like work in different like mediums kind of like coming together, which is cool for a game like this. So the art, almost, you know, because of all these like different kind of systems and like all these things I was mentioning before, the art kind of like goes hand in hand with that, because there's just so much kind of going on art wise. So yeah, they did a great job with the art with the game, which is honestly one of the reasons I like, you know, I know you were mentioning that, you know, you really like playing the game. So that was obviously a reason I wanted to check it out. But then just watching the game, I was like, oh, this looks really interesting. Like I want to explore more of this because of the way it looks. So I give them props for the art for sure.
And no doubt. And the music and the sounds here are, I think the music's badass, to be honest. I mean, I wonder if we can get some right now, but it just sounds so epic. And yeah, let's see if we can hear some.
Go.
I mean, how cool is that? I mean, that is, you know, these like dark like cello hits and stuff like that. It sounds great. You know, the, you know, regular sound effects are just kind of what you expect from this, but there's a lot of satisfying noises here in the game as well. Like when you add force field to your city, like it has this like really clicky kind of just almost ASMR, like getting put into the force field. Same with getting coins and favor, as well as adding cards. And the sound of drawing the cards sounds even cool. So clearly a lot of work put into the sound design here. I think it's, you know, really, really impressive. I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think one of the lead devs is also or might have had a hand in the composing, which is pretty cool. Super, super impressive. I think this was one of the first things that stood out to me, even when I played the demo. A lot of really cool music. I was like, oh man, I can't wait to hear more of this. And it definitely didn't disappoint here in early access.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's just epic. You know, I don't have a lot more notes with the sounds. You know, I think the sound effects were great. But really, like, that soundtrack is just so epic in those combat encounters. And maybe, I mean, I know that there's not really any dialogue, you know, voice lines, right, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. It could be kind of cool to just add a little bit of flavor to, like, some of the characters, because some of them I'm looking at, I'm like, I wonder what this guy sounds like. Yeah. Like, he's got to sound, like, funny or something like that. But I know that's a lot more work. And yeah, I think the sound's another example of kind of goes hand in hand with the art. There's just like, there's so much work put into it. And it really does come together and make for a cool experience. So I'm I was a fan, especially of the soundtrack. I think it's pretty epic sounding.
Amen, amen. Now, yeah. Going to performance, I there are like a little some blippy stuff, especially, you know, when you go from one screen to another. I think I guess at least on my end for the early access stuff, I only played on PC. I don't think it's set up for the Steam Deck, as far as I know. But
yeah, I did play a little bit on the Steam Deck, but it's not easy to play on there. So definitely meant for PC. Yeah.
So I didn't have many issues yet. I had, or there's the ability to when you boot up the game to do a lower taxing version of the game, and I actually tried both, and the lower taxing like looked just as good, so I wasn't like actually, and it actually ran better. It could be a my PC thing, but it was it worked fine. Nothing game breaking on my end.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues. You know, when I played on Steam Deck, it's just you have to use like the mouse trackpad, and there's a lot of smaller text, you know, just doesn't work like super great on the Steam Deck. I don't know if this game will ever kind of be, you know, Steam Deck verified because of, you know, it's kind of hard to avoid, I think, all the text in the game. But yeah, I didn't have any performance issues that I noticed at all. So it worked pretty well on PC.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's going to bring us to our final rating. Our ratings are as follows. S-tier games are certified fresh juice. These are our Balatros of the world. After that is a steal. These are games like Crypt Custodian, Ballionaire, The Cub. After that, we have Get on Sale. These are games that are not quite good, but have a lot of good things going for them. You might want to get them on sale. Stuff like Wizard with a Gun. And then after that, there's Manager Special. These are games that maybe if it's on a deep discount or if it's free to play, we didn't really enjoy it that much, but perhaps if it is like a genre you really like, it might be worth checking out. And then after that, Spoiled Milk, which is what nobody should be drinking. I don't think.
Don't play it. Don't drink it. Don't play it.
So with that being said, I'll give my rating first. I think you probably know this is going to be a certified fresh juice for me. It really is an impressive game on all points here. There's so much depth. There's so much more to discover. Even now, like between this and the beta, I played quite a bit. And I'm excited to kind of really dive in and see how these units can be upgraded because they all have a perk system, which we never even even mentioned, but you can upgrade these units like wholly, give them new cards, yada, yada, yada. There's so much depth here and just kind of figuring out what's good and what's not good, as well as this whole board game like RPG element in the city. It's just so unique and kind of vast in a way that doesn't feel forced or anything like that. It just kind of makes sense for what this game is doing. So certified fresh juice for me. I think if you like difficult deck builders, this is for you. It's not going to be for everybody. I know that. I mean, you know, I wouldn't recommend this to somebody who's a fair weather deck builder fan or even never played deck builders. I would lead with something else. But for example, my buddy Will is a big deck builder fan. I was like, hey, maybe you want to check out this game As We Descend, play the beta. It's pretty cool. It's out in early access now. I'm going to be playing some of it. And I looked on Steam, and he's already put 13 hours into it. So, you know, it takes hold of the hardcore fans out there. But what is your rating?
Yeah, so I'm going to be a little lower on this one just because, you know, it's just not a game for me at the end of the day. So I'm giving this like a solid on sale. I think that there's so much that is to be appreciated for this game. And honestly, depending on how early access goes, this could be bumped up to a steal for me if they really like nail the tutorial down, because I did have fun playing it. It's just, it's one of those games where like, I just, you know, there's so much time you need to kind of invest into it to, I feel like, really get the most out of it. And it just didn't hook me as well, you know, as much as like a hardcore deck builder fan, which I am not. You know, I like deck building games, but I'm not, you know, incredibly into them, you know, to the point where like I'm figuring out all these little strategies and things like that. I'm definitely more of the fair weather fan of deck building. So I'm giving it a solid on sale. It is a $30 game as well. Mm-hmm. I do think there's a lot. There's a reason that it's that price too. You know, there's like a lot that's been put into it. And you can see all the effort and the heart and the love that's been put into it. But just personally, for me, you know, it's an on sale. So it's one of those games where if I saw it on sale, I'd be like, oh, maybe.
I think that there are some bundles. If you already own Star Vaders, which is another game we reviewed, I think there's a bundle with Star Vaders and then also with Frostpunk. Yeah, I think with Frostpunk. So if you own any of those games, you might be able to get this for a little bit cheaper. But yeah, it is $30. I think it's worth the price, but it is not for everybody. That is for sure. So if you're a hardcore gamer like me, you might like it. Now, next week, as we said, we got Cast and Chill. And we're going to be casting, chilling, and doing all that fun stuff. And listener questions we have from the Discord, which is free to join. It's in the show notes below. Man of the Hour Bags comes in and asks, what game were you really excited for but didn't live up to your expectations? And what game did you not have on your radar that turned out to be really good?
Yeah, good question. Honestly, the first game that comes to my mind that, like, I don't know if I was really excited for it, but I was excited for it, that didn't live up to expectations is Deathloop, which actually I think Bags, we kind of played around the same time. The reason I was excited for it is because it was a roguelike first-person shooter, and it just looked really interesting, and I was like, oh, this seems pretty cool. And it really just didn't deliver for me. Like, it would just kind of fell flat. The gameplay was like boring at the end of the day, and also just really easy. Like, I feel like I spent like 2 hours playing it and I wasn't challenged like at all. So, you know, just because I'm such a pro gamer. Mm-hmm. No, but it just, I just feel like it really didn't deliver. I feel like if they came out with a second one, I would at least be looking at it. But that's probably one that comes to mind. I think I've answered a similar question before and said Hellskate. So I'm going to just avoid saying that one. So I'll go with Deathloop there. And then what game did you not have on your radar that turned out to be really good? That's an interesting one. I have to think about that, which I didn't have it on my radar, and it turned out to be really good. I mean, yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, there's so many games that have fallen in that category. Like Valheim, for example, was one that just, like, you know, I didn't know about, and then when I bought it, I just like sunk in like so many hours into it. I got 150 hours in Valheim. I'm just looking right now. So that's one that comes to mind. There's a lot of games that honestly fall in that category, especially doing like a show like this, you know, where like, I feel like most of the games we play, we've never really heard of before, or we just recently heard of. So there's a lot of like certified fresh juices I could probably say there, but if I'm looking outside of the podcast, I'll probably just say Valheim. That's like, Valheim's in like my top five like survival games all time. And so that one really, you know, I just couldn't stop playing it. So I really enjoyed it. But yeah, that's my answer. What about you, Tommy? What are you thinking?
So a game that I was really excited for but didn't live up to my expectations. That one's a little tough. I mean, I was looking forward to this game called Toads of the Bayou. Which is a little kind of strategy, turn-based deck builder kind of game that ended up just, it hit on like the art and stuff, But like everything else kind of really fell flat. Didn't feel that deep or anything like that. Still, I think still a fine game, but was not something that I was super excited for. And then something that wasn't on my radar that I ended up loving. There's a lot of games like this, but I think Arco is one. I recommend that game for anybody. That game was so sick. And yeah, wasn't really on my radar. Then it was out and I heard something and I was like, oh, let me check it out. And I was like, holy smokes, this is such a good game. So Arco. Yeah. But
oh yeah.
Hell yeah. Next question comes from Capolo. Which video game superpower would you like to possess IRL? Examples: double jump, respawn, load from previous checkpoint, carry loads of inventory, always improving, etc.
This is a good question. I mean, if just from your example, I mean, load from previous checkpoint just seems like so useful. Like if you just screwed up anything, you could just load from the previous checkpoint. You know, kind of Groundhog Day sort of situation, I guess. And but if we're going with something that maybe isn't on your list, I always thought that just having like a what do you call it? Like an RPG leveling kind of system where like if I convince someone to do something, it would like up my persuasion stat, you know, like, and that would actually be like apply where I just, you know, so you could do that for like anything. I wish I just had like stats I could upgrade for myself. I think that would be kind of cool. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to go with. I don't know if that's a superpower. That's just really just a game mechanic, but
I don't know. I guess it kind of is. I mean, it would be considered that in real life. God, this is tough. This is a tough question because I mean, respawn is pretty OP. But like, oh man, like then you'd feel the pain every time. I don't know. I don't know actually. Double jump is cool. Double jump would be like hilarious to do around people.
Yeah, because in the NBA like, or something.
Well, just like in general, I would just run at somebody, like a friend, and jump, and they'd be like, oh my God, Tom's going to hit me, and then jump again and hop over them. Hilarious. So maybe something like that. I mean, the respawn makes the most sense to me, if you want to live forever, I guess. But that seems maybe not the best. Who knows?
Yeah.
Thanks for the question, Capolo. Next question comes from Kay Moore. Which of you would be better at representing yourself in court?
Oh, man. I don't think I'd be good at all representing myself in court because there's just, I don't know enough laws. You know, I'd be like, I didn't do it. You know, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't think I'd be good at all. What about you?
I think you would be.
Think so?
Yeah.
It depends what I did, I guess.
True, but I'm also like trying to think of a realistic reason why you would be in court, right?
Yeah, maybe like piracy something like that.
I don't know, I don't think I'd be good at it, but maybe I mean, like, golly, it's hard to bullshit your way out of like jail.
Yeah.
Like I could, you know, maybe BS myself a little bit, but I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah. I would probably just like channel my inner, like, my cousin Vinny or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or I'd probably be like the guy in the beginning of that movie, like the public defender. He's just like, he can't say anything. That's probably what would end up happening.
Oh man. What a great movie.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question, Kay Moore. And finally from R Carp, she asks, best barbecue side.
Ooh, the best barbecue side. I mean, I love mac and cheese. I'm a big mac and cheese guy. I also like potato salad. I'll probably just go with mac and cheese. I've had some pretty good mac and cheese sides with barbecue. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really has made a big impression on me barbecue side wise, but I don't know. I always go for the mac and cheese, even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah, mac and cheese is good. Cornbread is pretty good.
Yeah.
If it's like a Honestly, I'm assuming we're thinking about maybe the best. Like, it's all really made well.
Yeah.
That's the case. Coleslaw for me. I love coleslaw, especially like when you're having like barbecue, it's all like heavy meats and stuff like that. Like kind of having that like nice kind of bright crunch to go along with it. That's definitely up my alley. Like a nice, like a creamy coleslaw, but like kind of vinegary as well. So it's not like too heavy. Something, you know, just a little, little crunch. Leafy green crunch, you know?
Yeah.
So
I don't like a mayo heavy coleslaw. Like when it's too, I'm just like, I don't want that. It's got to be on the lighter side for me to really like it. Yeah.
It definitely has to be on the lighter side. But that's a good question. Arcarp, thank you very much. It's time to go down to a little place we like to call the rec room, where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. What do you have to recommend this week?
So this week I am recommending Sourdough Discard. All right. So this is weird. Well, not, I guess it's not that weird, but my wife got a sourdough starter, and so it's been growing. And what you have to do, like it's growing in this jar, what you have to do is like basically kind of cut off half of it. And you have to, like, you can store that in the fridge. Some people throw it away. And it will keep just kind of growing. Like, every day it's, like, doubling in size. And then eventually you can stop kind of feeding it or whatever. But with the discard, what you can do is you can make, like, quick rise or quick bake things with it, like cookies or pancakes or pizza dough, things like that. So she actually made like chocolate chip cookies with sourdough discard. And it's kind of cool because it just kind of keeps growing. Like, it's not like we had to buy anything. It replaces the yeast essentially. And we actually have been going to like a farmer's market every week, and there's like a sourdough person there. And she always has, she's got sourdough loaves, but she's got like so many other sourdough things. You know, she got the cookies, pancakes, she's got like almond rings, like all these things. And we're realizing now, she is using her discard for all that sort of stuff. And like, she's probably making a killing, right? Because she doesn't have to go and buy, you know, more sourdough starter or whatever to make those things, because it's just a natural kind of remainder from sourdough. So I don't know if anyone's out there that hasn't explored the sourdough world. I think that the discard thing was something I didn't know about. I was like, this is awesome. Like, you know, she was going to make like a bundt cake today with it. You can just kind of make all these different things just with some extra sourdough. I know sourdough is like a big trend and all that stuff, but honestly, I was just in it for the bread, and now I'm in it for anything else I can make with the sourdough discard. So it's cool. And it's also, you know, cheap, basically free in a way. Which is awesome. So I recommend it. You know, as we head into the recession, folks, I'm going to need you to get a sourdough starter, because it's going to be the only way you're going to get your sustenance. But yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I recommend it. If you haven't explored sourdough stuff, it's a nice side effect.
Well, I love sourdough bread.
Yeah,
that's for sure. And we've never done the sourdough thing, but maybe we'll have to. Maybe.
Yeah.
I've always seen like the videos of like them opening it and it's like moving and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
Yeah. It's cool.
Make you bread now.
It's honestly wild. Like, you know, she will like cut off the discard, and then like an hour later we go and look, and it's like already grown like half of what she cut off. Wow. We're like, Jesus, this thing is like going to take over the house.
Good.
Close the jar. Yeah. But it's cool. It's cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
I have a movie to recommend this week. It's the movie Ghost, starring Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, Whoopi Goldberg. It's from, you know, the year 1990. Older than me. There is, yes. I mean, okay, this is one of my favorite movies. No joke. So if you haven't seen it, or if you've only remember like the iconic pottery making scene, you know, which it's famous for. I definitely recommend it. So, you know, this is just a true story of like love and also like good versus evil, right? And really with this like spooky little twist going into it, you know, you have Patrick Swayze who plays Sam Wheat, who is, I forget, he's going to be married to Demi Moore's character, Molly Jensen. And they live together, and one day they're walking home, somebody tries to mug them, and then Sam Wheat gets killed, and his ghost remains. And he kind of has to live as a ghost because he has unfinished business, and he doesn't know why. And it turns out there might have been some foul play with the murder of him. It wasn't just a regular, you know, mugging. And so Patrick Swayze's kind of figure out how to be a ghost, finds Whoopi Goldberg's character, Oda Mae Brown, who can now talk to ghosts. She didn't realize. So, you know, he's kind of torturing her with like trying to help him. And, you know, Tony Goldwyn plays the bad guy. That's kind of a spoiler. I'm sorry. But Vincent Schiavelli, weird looking guy, plays the subway ghost. He's really neat. This is a good motion picture, folks. 1990, 35 years ago. Still Oof. Holds up. Still holds up. Anything with a ghost in it, I'm in. So,
yeah.
Check out Ghost.
Yeah. But, good. Good. Classic. A classic.
Classic. But hey, listen. We didn't do this last week, but this week you can find me on all socials at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. You can check it out. It's a good time. This week we did a lore episode. Going to be quite good. Last week we had Brian Gottlieb on for episode 200, and that was a good time as well. You can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you, Matt?
They can find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. Been posting some Dune content lately. My latest stuff has had some great support, so I really appreciate everyone out there who's checking it out. And, thank you for listening today, folks. It's been another good ep.
Is this one a good one?
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe next week. I think we'll do better next week.
No. This is a good one. And everybody, comment if you disagree. And I'll fight you. With that...